sweet friend. This is Deeper Life, and I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller. I'm a writer, content creator, and a woman on a journey to finding more depth in life. If you crave soul-filling conversations and long for a stronger connection to yourself and others, consider this your safe haven. It can be hard to embrace who we are, let alone share that with the rest of the world. The Deeper Life podcast is a safe place to show up and hear conversations about relationships, emotional growth, and explore what it means to be vulnerable. If you're ready to dig deeper, I'm here to help you embrace who you are, reflect on your past, and connect with yourself. Welcome to A Deeper Life. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Deeper Life with me, Alexis Teichmiller, and I am so thankful for your time, and I know how valuable your time is, and I'm just so thankful that you're spending some of your day with me and my dear friend, Riley Prummer. So I don't know about you, but I still sometimes have flashbacks of some of the not so good aspects of high school, right? Like there are some aspects of our childhood, aspects of high school, or even just elementary school, junior high, that kind of shape us and shape our narrative around who we are. And we can choose to lean into that narrative and believe it, or we can choose to decide, you know what, that narrative doesn't serve me. I'm not going to subscribe to that kind of thought, or I'm not going to believe what that person said about me. And it's crazy sometimes the power that we give things like high school and our memories, and we have to decide today who we want to be in this present moment. It doesn't really matter what so-and-so thought about us back in high school or even in college, or maybe you run into them at the grocery store and it's like, oh, I forgot about this experience with you. It can be such a learning opportunity for us to leave things in the past that don't serve us and pick up things in the present that are more aligned with who we are and what we want, which is exactly why I wanted to have my dear friend Riley Prummer on today's podcast episode. A little bit more about Riley is he is the owner of RP Media, a videography agency. He actually was the videographer for my husband and I's wedding. I cherish that video so much. He does wedding videos, branding videos. He's an incredibly talented videographer. And he's also the co-owner of The Vagabond Eatery, which is a local retro camper food truck focused on acai bowls and the most delicious coffee here in the Southern Illinois area. But he's an entrepreneur at heart. So we talk through all the different phases of his entrepreneurial journey, starting whenever he was 17. We talk through being different, you know, whether you're from a big city or a small town, sometimes being different as a kid in junior high and high school is not always as celebrated. And so we talk through his experience of feeling different and how he navigated that in high school, and really his ability to continue to push through, execute on his ideas as an entrepreneur, and decide who he wanted to be and embrace who he was, regardless of what people thought about him, and kind of his journey through being misunderstood and really stepping into this confident person that he is today. And I think this is an interesting episode because there's like this misconception around if you're a man or you identify as a man that you're really not supposed to engage with your emotions or you're not as emotional. And I definitely don't think that narrative continues to feed into toxic masculinity where men just bypass emotions altogether and have to, you know, be perceived as tough or be perceived as strong all the time. And we talk through Riley's journey of working through his insecurities and how that's helped him as a man be able to become more confident and embrace who he is instead of what other people think of him. I learned so much about myself through this episode too, just having this conversation with him. I'm so thankful for his vulnerability and his honesty. And if you are from a small town or regardless of where you're from, if you still have those memories from high school that you hold on to and that they feed into this negative view of yourself, I definitely think that this is going to be a podcast episode that's going to help you. It's going to make you feel very seen, and it's going to kind of reframe some of the ways that you might think about yourself to create a new narrative and step into your most confident self now as an adult. All right, friends, if you resonate with this episode or you're really learning a lot or you're just vibing with Riley and I's conversation, it would mean a lot to me if you screenshot your podcast player, jump over to Instagram and tag me at Alexis Teichmiller and Riley at Riley Prummer. And we'd love to hear what you're learning from each episode, especially this one. And if you're getting a lot of value from the podcast, it would mean a lot if you would leave a review. Those reviews keep me going. They're my encouragement. And I always just puts the biggest smile on my face and is really like my rocket fuel to keep going. And I appreciate you so much. Let's dive into today's episode with Riley Prummer. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Deeper Life. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, and today on the show, I have one of my dear friends. I've known him since he was born. I honestly don't think I can say that about anyone else I've ever had on the show. Welcome, Riley Prummer.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on here.
You're welcome. Okay, so lots to cover today. I think that one of the reasons that I've always been like very, one, encouraged by our friendship and always like drawn to our friendship is because we're both from a very small town of 500 people. My graduating class was 26 kids. What was yours?
32, I think.
32. Okay. Yeah, you have me beat. Yep. Or maybe I have you beat. I don't know. But we're both from the same small town. And I think that now me living back in, you know, our community after moving away, coming back, I'm attracted and want to be friends with people who have embraced who they are and have embraced their differences and have used those as a way to create really amazing things. And that's you, in my opinion. So I want to kind of talk through your experiences around growing up and finding who you are and embracing who you are in that.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So like you said, I graduated with 32 kids in my class. So you graduated in 2012?
2011.
Okay. I was class of 2015. Mm-hmm. But I always knew you, like you said, you know, you were like, you were my sister's age. So you're like the older big sister. So yeah. In high school, I mean, I had friends, like obviously I had lots of friends. I would identify myself as more social, but I was nowhere in terms of like my personality developed as I am now. Obviously, a lot of that was like masked, you know, in high school. You know, obviously your brain's not fully developed and your personality's not fully developed. But yeah, so I would always identify myself as a social person. Yeah, I mean, I was really well liked, but I feel like now I'm way more confident and my personality's blossomed and everything like that. So yeah, I'm excited to dive into that today and we can talk about that.
Yeah. I'm curious. I feel like there was a very specific time for me in fifth grade. Like I can remember when I started to feel different from other people. And when I say different, y'all, I mean different in any way. Like just sticking out, like being maybe not a part of the crowd or not a part of the trendy. Like mine had everything to do with fashion. I remember in fifth grade, I really started to find my personality and the way I expressed myself through clothing. And that was weird, quote unquote, at, you know, 10, 11 years old. And so I kind of got picked on a lot for that. And I know that that is a part of being a kid, unfortunately, is that there are going to be other kids that don't get it because, again, you're 10 years old, you know? But I think that was the first time that I really started to feel the separation. And that was just because of the clothes I wore. And then it became in high school, I didn't drink. And we're from a very like small Midwest town where, you know, there's a lot of underage drinking. That's just, unfortunately, the reality. And that was another thing that like kind of put another wedge, I would say, against me in a way, not really against me, but it didn't help me out when it came to like getting along with everybody or just feeling like, am I doing something wrong? Am I normal? Am I popular? Do people like me? And it was like the layers in which I looked at the ways I was different. And I remember, you know, not getting invited to things or, you know, just not being a part of the group because I didn't drink. And, you know, and that was more so in high school. I think it was like hard for me to just own who I was at that point. And I even kind of tried to figure that out in college too. I'm curious, like, was there a moment or a specific memory where you kind of felt like the other, like different in some way? And how did that kind of impact your journey towards really embracing and knowing who you are?
Yeah. So kind of like you, my story kind of goes off what you said about fashion and drinking, or not drinking in high school. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in high school I just started to express my personality through my clothing. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like I was dressing that quote unquote weird. I was just wearing like, you know, brighter colors, different styles, ripped jeans. Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid I wear ripped jeans. But unlike you, I was going to those high school parties. Mm-hmm. And I did drink when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And so wearing that type of clothing at those parties was where I got picked on. I shared a story with you that one time about how I was drinking and my drink got spitten by, what do you call it? Tobacco. And it was that moment that I was like, okay, like, this is what's wrong here. Like, am I wrong? But from that moment, I knew that I had enough self-awareness at that moment that it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was that person. I think that person was suffering from their own insecurities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was from that. I feel like that was like a really pivotal moment for me. I was like, okay, I don't like this. What's happening here?
Yeah.
Not to say like that whole party and that whole social scene in general is bad, but just that particular feeling in that it wasn't matching up in my head. So
yeah,
I feel like that was a pivotal moment for me. It didn't really make me change or something, but it would just kind of make me stronger and know what I wanted to do moving forward and know what I was doing wasn't bad. It was, I should embrace that and move forward, you know? So yeah, I feel like that was like a pivotal moment for me.
Yeah. It's also interesting too, looking back now, you're 24, I'm 27, almost 28 next month. It's easier to look back in those moments and say like, I learned this, but when you're in it and you are feeling those differences, it is painful. Mm-hmm. It's hard to work through. It's easier, I think, sometimes to fall in line with what is popular or what is, you know, the majority. And just to kind of paint a picture, we're from, like I said, a small town, but it's a farming community. You know, it's a lot of manual labor. It's a lot of like blue collar. And I,
blue jeans.
Yeah. A lot of blue. Yeah. A lot of Levi blue jeans, which is totally fine. I think it's understanding that even though you are from, whether you're from a small town or a big city, you are going to experience feeling different. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody does. I don't think that's an exclusive experience. I think it's something that everyone does experience at some point. I think it's then what you decide to do with that experience that can either honestly kind of make you fall in love with yourself in a way of like, hey, I realize I'm different and that's okay. I'm okay with that versus, okay, now I need to change everything about who I am to then fit in. And I would say that's something I've never really seen you do is I almost like through every obstacle or every barrier, you took one step further into embracing and accepting yourself instead of, well, how can I just fit in so that I don't feel like this anymore?
Yeah.
Walk me through like that process. Is that something that came natural to you? Did you make a decision about it? Like you said that you had the awareness, but I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah. So just to kind of back up, you said how looking back, like we feel like so much more confident and taking myself back to that moment, I feel like I would react totally different. And it's amazing just to feel like to be able to feel those feelings I felt when I was whatever I was at the time, I think 16 to where I am now. I am like so much more stronger and I would have a different reaction. I actually didn't even react to that person. I was like, I blocked out. I think I was just like so like stunned, but I would react so differently to that person now.
How would you react now?
I would probably just ask them why they felt the need to do that. And I would probably challenge their selves like to think inward and what's like going on that you're choosing to spit in my drink. That's not normal, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. I knew that I was tapping into my full potential personality in high school. And then I think I feel like going to I went to a community college for 2 years, but then I went to U of I, University of Illinois, for 2 more years. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like it was during that time that I feel like I developed my full personality. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, when you go to a college like that, and, you know, we all clash there. So we're all able to coexist and no one's really like judged, or it's just like the best of every world. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there I was able to like wear certain things or just be myself. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that was whenever my personality really blossomed. I still feel like I'm, you know, developing today. I'm sure you do too. Like,
yeah,
we still are changing and morphing. Mm-hmm. But it was that time at university that I felt the most at peace with myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just knew that I wanted to keep pushing through, and I didn't really care what anyone had to think or, you know.
Yeah. And that is really powerful. I think that there's an... So I want to talk about like the other side mm-hmm. of not caring about what people think, because coming from where we came from, and I don't know if like you listening have felt this way too, you can sometimes get in this jaded mentality or this bitter, you know, mindset
yeah.
towards people of just feeling like, okay, fine, I don't care about what anybody thinks. And it can turn a bit toxic. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because that was my experience. Mm-hmm. I left for college. My whole, like you said, my whole world was opened up. More diversity, not just in people, in religion, but just diversity of thought. You know, all these different thoughts and all these different ideas and different paths that I could take kind of opened up for me the moment I stepped away from, you know, my hometown. Even though my school was only 30 minutes away from where I grew up, yeah. there was something about being in that environment where you were all kind of on this even playing field in a way, and no one cared. Like, no one cared about what I did. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I found myself looking back at my hometown and looking back at my high school experience and feeling jaded about it
yeah.
and feeling bitter about it. I didn't go to my 5-year class reunion because I don't think I was ready to, one, face things that hurt me, mm-hmm. but also face the way I hurt other people through, you know, your high school experience. And there's something about that like, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, and I'm just going to do me and screw everybody else. I also feel like that's really a hard place to build relationship from. It's also hard to heal from that place. Did you ever find yourself there at times where that, I think, positive aspect of not caring can sometimes be unhealthy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm
like
saying?
Like too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like I always tried to turn that into a positive situation, like mm-hmm. those feelings. Like I would try to ask the person questions and maybe kind of ask them what their thought process was or mm-hmm. If I did ever feel that way with specific people. Mm-hmm. Unlike you, I did go to my 5-year class reunion. I just had it this summer. I did have some like iffy feelings about it, just dealing with specific, you know, maybe groups of people, but mm-hmm. All went fine. And I'm happy I did go because I was able to show up as a much stronger and developed person mm-hmm. and with a personality. And I feel like although those people may have been silently judging me, I didn't care. And I was happy to be able to show mm-hmm. that side of me and showcase to them what I'm doing. And this is me. And mm-hmm. I feel like all of you are you. And let's just talk about what we're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to see them and hear them. So,
yeah, I love that's such a very mature and very emotionally aware mm-hmm. Perspective. It kind of just brought something to my mind of if we want other people to accept us as we are, we have to be able to give that to other people. Mm-hmm. And I really see you do that. I'm curious, has that been hard? Because it's like, okay, I want people to just accept me and embrace me for who I am. But then on the other side of that, we also have to make space for other people mm-hmm. and make space for their differences and make space for the ways that, you know, they might think differently or act differently than us. Mm-hmm. And I think when you can come to a place where you're aware of who you are while also embracing someone else for who they are mm-hmm. and not judging them for that and not criticizing them, that's difficult. Like yeah. it's worth it, mm-hmm. but I do find it hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were definitely some, just along the process, there's definitely some walls that I had to put down and, you know, in mm-hmm. order to be able to fully be myself. But I feel like showing up at that reunion and seeing those people's personalities develop to their full potential too was a refreshing thing. And it was mm-hmm. like I said, it's like we're all here and are pretty much developed personalities. Like, let's just mm-hmm. kind of like, not to get to know each other again, but like, let's just hang out and like, let's talk. So mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, no, that's a really beautiful place to arrive with friendship. I kind of want to like jump into friendship for a bit. Yeah. When you feel different or someone tells you you're different, mm-hmm. whether you feel it or it's vocalized to you, it makes it hard to show up fully in friendships. I found like it was, I feel like I really started to develop into my friendships in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Like my 21, 22, 23 were really pivotal years for me where I fully, you know, I was always told like you're being a lot or you're too much, yeah. you know, or your personality's too direct or, you know, you have too many plans. Like you need to just chill out. Mm-hmm. And I took those as reasons why something was wrong with me instead of embracing like, what a great personality type.
Yeah.
You know, like I love my personality yeah. and I want to be around individuals who love that too and who embrace that too. And who will also be honest with me about like anything. Mm-hmm. Hey, you hurt my feelings. Okay. I always want to know when mm-hmm. I've hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, I want my friends to blindly just, you know, let me do whatever I want. I think that cultivating friendship where you're both being your full self is hard when you have a past where people didn't accept you.
Yeah.
What has been your experience now, you know, as a young adult, building those friendships, tapping into old friendships too, yeah. and then creating new friendships where you really feel like you're proud of the way that you show up because you're being yourself?
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, friendships were always something I felt like I struggled with just growing up in general. Mm-hmm. I just typically just always felt like I aligned myself more with females mm-hmm. Just because I grew up with sisters and
yeah.
I just got along with them better. Not to say I didn't get along with males, but I just vibed better with females. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I began to have more male friends just because there are things that we were able to align with in terms of like both interest in business and mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I feel like that got better as I got older. But in terms of like, I feel like with you, my pivotal years of friendship formed when I was like in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Because obviously high school shakes up some things and you're kind of forced to drift apart.
Yeah.
But there's always those friends that like you're always going to go back to just because you spent 16 years of your life together, however many, you know.
Yeah.
So you align with that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as I got older through community college, I had a good set of friends that I feel like I was really able to lean into and grow with. And obviously we're all still friends today. So I feel like I owe a lot to them, just mm-hmm. being able to always lean into them. And we grew together and we all have a like interest and stuff. So we all vibe really well. And even today, you know, adding friends like you and other people, I feel like we have a really good group mm-hmm. that we all share common interests. And it's been a blessing for me to be able to have those people in my life because I was scared to live my full life here because mm-hmm. I always talked about moving away. But I feel like now I can confidently say that I like being here and I like being surrounded by those people. And mm-hmm. I'm happy where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm. You can always find something wrong mm-hmm. with wherever you are.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And there's something beautiful about, well, first I want to caveat this with, it's not about being complacent or like being stuck, but if you see that there's room for growth and you could grow where you are, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Instead of feeling like, well, I feel stuck, so I have to leave. Okay, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe that's true.
Yeah.
But also, could there be an opportunity where you're feeling stuck because there's a gap and you need to grow
yeah.
and you need to either embrace where you are, make the most of where you are? Again, I don't always believe that to be the case for everything. Like for me, I needed to move.
Yeah.
I was in a place where if I was going to become the woman I wanted to become, mm-hmm. I needed to leave.
Yeah.
And then now in my late 20s, coming back to my hometown, I'm so grateful for the time I had away because now I can come back here and really feel a sense of belonging and a sense of love and care mm-hmm. for my entire experience here. Whereas I feel like for me personally, I couldn't do that, you know, right after graduating high school or college. I needed that separation and that time to mature, to heal, to process, and to let things go yeah. and to really just embrace who I am. Yeah. But I would say that you are someone who I've really seen make the most of every opportunity where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, kind of share your creative journey in terms of mm-hmm. being an entrepreneur. That's another thing too, like that kind of sets you apart. It sets both of us apart in a way of being young entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. My first business was 17, at 17 years old, so was yours. And then just continuing that trajectory of mm-hmm. starting things, building things, and honestly just pulling people around us that support us in that, yeah. that's rare, you know? And I know that it's something that is a gift that you have. I'd love for you to kind of share your experience through that.
Yeah. I would just like to add, your first business was actually when you created those illegal CDs. I hope the, what would it be, the bureau?
The, I don't even know.
The tax.
Like plagiarism or whatever. Yeah, yeah,
I hope
yeah.
I'm not listening.
Yeah.
If okay. Not, I just exposed you.
Just for like context, when I was 8 and 9, I used to take CDs and I used to burn copies of them and sell them.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. Britney Spears, Shania Twain.
And
98 Degrees.
Backstreet Boys.
Yep. I used to burn them and sell them at school until one of my teachers found out. I want to say it was Mrs. Ogden.
Love her.
Yeah. Mrs. Ogden. Or I don't know. Yeah. I think it was Mrs. Ogden. And yeah. she said
just straight.
This is illegal and you can't do this at school. So please stop or I'm going to
stop. I'm doing hot girl shit.
Yeah. Literally, I'm like,
Ogden killing your vibe.
Oh my gosh. I was like, okay. She's like, you need to stop or I'm going to take you to the principal's office if I find you doing this again. So that was technically my first business.
I'm trying to think of if I had something like that. I don't think I did really. Yeah.
You just started at 17, yeah. which is still pretty
CEO.
Early.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, I feel like in CEO, obviously the CEO program, I really tapped into what being an entrepreneur looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you get experience with that when you do that every day, every morning.
Explain the CEO program really quick.
Yeah. So I was in the Effingham CEO program, stands for Creating Entrepreneurial Opportunities, every morning from 7 a.m. to 9
7:30 to 9.
Mm-hmm. We go to like a different business each morning in the Effingham County area, and we get to, in a sense, shadow that business owner or whoever represents that company at the time. And we get to learn about them and kind of learn about their business. And then through that whole program, we're challenged to create a class business, which is a business where all of us come together to create. And then at the end, we're tasked to create our own business. Not at the end. We're doing it simultaneously throughout the program
mm-hmm.
to where we create our own business. And then at the end of the program, we have what they call a trade show where we all sell that product, service, and people come. And that was really cool to me. Just like
yes,
having people come and like buy mm-hmm. my shit.
And actually
and
seeing,
like have money. Like,
yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Like the transfer of someone coming,
yeah.
looking at something that you created that was literally out of your mind.
Yeah.
And then they purchase it and they give you money for
yeah.
it. It is a crazy
like
feeling.
Dopamine.
It is like a dopamine yeah. hit.
And even then like seeing how much, I mean, I still made a fair amount for it being the CEO program, but yeah. So that was like a rush to me. Obviously the whole program was a rush and I'm super grateful for it.
What was your personal business?
So remember you helped me with the name.
It I know.
Was Just In Case Designs. So it was an iPhone case company that where the cases could be interchangeable. So mm-hmm. you would buy like, it was like a, what do you want to say? Like a shell for your phone, but you could interchange the back, the design on the back. It was like a, just like a plastic piece.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd get like I'd provide you with like a shell and then 3 customizable inserts that you could change. Yeah, really. I mean, really cool idea.
I used them.
Yeah. I think it could have been like obviously something really cool if I would have continued it, but it just wasn't, I didn't really care that much. I mean, I cared in the moment, but obviously college and everything happens where your priorities shift. So,
right. It wasn't something that you wanted to continue on with, but yeah. it is interesting when you sit down and you think through something that you want to spend time and money on and you mm-hmm. created a business at 17. That's mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, businesses for me have always been something that I've just always fell back on. I mean, after Just In Case, I started another one with a good friend of mine and college friend. And then we separated that one. And then I started another one. And then I have another one today. So obviously.
another one.
It's just, I'm a I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm a Capricorn energy. Mm-hmm. I just like to be busy. That's just how I am. Mm-hmm. And so
that's how you thrive.
It's been second nature. And when honestly, whenever I don't have anything going on, I tend to get not scared, but I tend to like have these thoughts of like, I'm not doing enough. And so I like to fill the void with being busy, but that's just how I am.
We're gonna explore that together.
You're like writing your notebook. Let's explore that.
So I'm gonna come back to that. So I wanna stay on the business track for just a second. So your first business, Just In Case phone case business. Mm-hmm. Second business, Country Carved, right? Where you used CGI?
We CNC machine.
CNC.
We use a CNC machine to create patriotic wood decor. So like all 50 states cut out in wood, American flags, stuff like that. We had an Etsy shop. We ran it for about 3 years, I think.
And it did really well.
Yeah. It was a good thing for us to have in college and just kind of still fill that void. And we liked it. So
it was also a way to apply what you're learning in business school.
Exactly.
And actually apply it to a real business in real time. Yeah. That's kind of why I started AT Avenue, my clothing company, the summer in between my sophomore and junior year of college, was because I was feeling that itch that like, I'm not going to use the word boredom because I learned so much and really enjoyed college, but I was feeling that creative boredom of like, I want to take what I'm learning from college and actually apply it to a business.
Yeah.
So then you did Country Carved, which by the way, I have one of his beautiful, it's a cutout of the United States the map, and it's beautiful. I love it. It's such a cool piece.
Yeah.
And then you started RP Media.
RP Media, which is a mainly wedding videography based company. Mm-hmm. I obviously create wedding films for couples.
Yeah. He did ours. He did Matthew and I's.
Go check it out. It.
Yeah. We can actually like link that maybe in the, if anyone's
link your dance, your viral dance. You should be getting affiliate money off that now or something.
I did my bridesmaids and I surprised my husband and everyone at the wedding with a bridesmaids and bride dance. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But Riley videoed the wedding. It was awesome.
Yeah. So RP Media. And then just recently, I co-founded a company with my friend called the Vagabond Eatery, which is a mobile acai bowl and coffee bar, which is a really interesting concept and something I'm super yoked about.
Yoked about.
As the youth say. But yeah, I plan for that in RP Media to really
continue.
And to be, I feel like I'm really doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's crazy, like looking back, saying like what you do and to get you where you are today. But
so phone cases to CNC wood carvings to a digital media company agency, photo video to a food truck, essentially for acai bowls and coffee. So quite the entrepreneurial journey.
I'm just missing like clothing, I think would be the only.
Yeah. Honestly.
Which we may get into.
You would rock that. Yeah. We should figure
lots
that out
of things,
together.
Lots of things coming.
But I think the common thread of all those different businesses for you personally is you believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And you taking a vision and actually taking action on it. Mm-hmm. I want to walk through like that mindset of coming up with something, taking action on it, and getting feedback from people on the idea without letting criticism or naysayers or the fact that we live in a town of 12,000. Yeah. People had never even heard of acai bowls.
Yeah.
And I mean that with love. It's just acai bowls are usually something that's either more, you know, in a big city or even international.
For sure.
And so you brought that to a small town and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
It's a very successful business. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, how do you protect and set those boundaries around, you know, your ideas, your creative energy, and then what you take action on, and then not letting criticism or, you know, maybe just negativity get in and make you not do it, you know? How have you navigated that?
I mean, that's a hard process, and I feel like I'm still kind of discovering that today. But I don't know. I just had the realization in college that I didn't want to work the standard 9-to-5, and I didn't want to work for somebody else. I felt like I could be my most self when I worked truly for myself. and, you know, things that I'm doing today, like RP Media and the Vagabond Eatery, are things that I've always said that I like a life, you know, you always say like that dream, like mm-hmm. lifelong dream. Mm-hmm. People say that, but they never actually do that, you know? And so it's sad. Like when mm-hmm. people are like, oh, I want to do that. It's like, then do it. Mm-hmm. So like the TikTok trend going around, it's like, you know, the music that plays and they're like, then do it. You know?
Yes.
You'll probably see it tonight.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The audio when it drops.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
like it's like, if that's your dream, then do it. Like, mm-hmm. like, okay, then continue working your 9 to 5, but then like find a way to make it work, you mm-hmm. know, to fund that mm-hmm. side hustle.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like I've always just kind of had this
drive,
do it mm-hmm. mindset. And of course I didn't really tap into that. I feel like until I was in college, like, you know, senior year, you're kind of in this sink or swim mindset where you're like, okay, am I either going to do this, which is like the 9 to 5 job, benefits, all that sexy stuff. Or am I going to like say F it, risk it all and go follow my quote unquote passion and dreams. Mm-hmm. And I chose to go the more non-traditional route. And to others, mainly probably my parents, that looked very scary and then looked very non-traditional, and they were worried. I was worried too, but through it all, I just have always had this sense of confidence that it's like, it's going to be okay. Like everything will work out. Mm. Everything will truly work out if it's supposed to work out. And mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm a Christian and you are too. And I believe that it'll work out. Mm-hmm. And like everything will align how it should align.
Yeah. I also think like something that helps me is going through really hard stuff. Mm-hmm. In relationships, in my personal life, health, like just going through hardship, mm-hmm. there is something about walking on the other side of that mm-hmm. where I can look back and I can say, girl, you lived through that. Mm-hmm. You got through that. That was one of the hardest seasons of your life. That was one of the hardest relationship drama, trauma that you've ever been through. Yeah. Like if you can get through these things, I believe in you that you can get through this.
Yeah.
And that's something I lean on too. And like that general energy of like, you can do it, take action. And if it doesn't work out, you are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I think that is for the most part true. Mm-hmm. Because I can look back at my history and I can say, these are things I didn't think I could ever come back from. And I did. And I want us like in general to stop forgetting what we've been through and continue to celebrate the fact that we got through that and that we're growing and that we're moving forward.
Yeah, we don't know her.
Yeah, we don't know her anymore.
We don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. But I think it's easy to lose sight of all the growth that you've experienced, all the hardships that you've gone through. Yeah. You can sometimes forget those when you're in a tense, stressful situation.
Yeah.
And it's great to remind yourself, like, I've gotten through that and I can get through this.
Yeah. I think I use that. I go back to that moments commonly in my business decision-making process moving forward and remember and dwell on that endurance that I faced like during that senior year mm-hmm. and just to power through it. And like that mindset I had to create in order to be able to kind of, you know, like I said, sink or swim. And I had to work my ass off in order to be able to kind of get to where I am at today to prove to my family that what I was doing was like legitimate and what I'm doing can fund my life, but also like it's fueling my passion and it's what I want to do. And so I just need like just speaking to them. I just need you to believe in me, like just trust me. Mm. And so I think now like they see it.
Do you think it's healthy? We're going to take a turn.
Yes.
Do you think it's healthy to, and this is like, I don't have the answer, okay? Mm-hmm. I have experienced this in my own life and have walked through it with friends that mm-hmm. are, you know, we're in our early, mid, late 20s, like the decade of 20s. I would bargain to say it's unhealthy to seek affirmation and validation from our parents at this age. Mm-hmm. Is it important for our parents to understand and trust us in the decisions we make anymore? We're not, I'm just like, I want to have this conversation. Yeah. Like
you're saying like we need to let go of like their like obviously we can listen to their input, but we need to not let it like affect us and change our decision. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think obviously like, you know, when you're in high school, college years, like you, they still have a control over your life essentially. Like mm-hmm. they, obviously their input matters and mm-hmm. you have to abide by their rules. Cause probably at that time you're still living in their household.
Mm-hmm. Or they're helping you financially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, my parents helped me financially through college, which is a huge privilege.
Yeah.
Like, I totally understand that. And so there is an element of the respect and listening to their input on your decision making when you're in that season of life.
Yeah. Yeah. There was never like a moment for me. I feel like I just started letting, like, not, I guess, taking their opinion. So, weighted. Like, I stopped weighing their opinion. It just happened gradually. And that was just through like, traveling, like I would tell them like, hey, like I was like always this person that felt like self-conscious about telling my family where I was going because they
didn't necessarily
see why I was doing that. And so
because they didn't have the desire to travel to certain places, they couldn't understand or connect why would you want to go there.
And so when I would tell them where I'm going, it would always make me kind of like feel bad, like deep down, like I would always kind of feel bad for going. But then I was just like, why? Like, that's so stupid. Why do you feel that way? So I would just tell, you know, my mom like or a week or two before, like, hey, I'm going to New York or I'm going to Europe.
I'm going to go to Thailand by myself.
So I think just like over time, we've both kind of, it's them just being like, okay, you've done it. You've freaking went to Thailand by yourself for 2 weeks and you came back and all in one piece. Like, mm-hmm. we trust you mm-hmm. at this point. And I've just, we've just kind of, I think, gotten to a place where we both trust each other. And it's not like a pivot. It wasn't like a moment in time. It was just like gradual, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think the reason I bring that up is because as we take steps towards living a deeper life and we take action and we take chances mm-hmm. and we may do the unconventional path, right? It is normal to look back at the family unit and say, do you approve? Mm-hmm. Do you affirm? Do you think I'm moving in the right direction? When I think that becomes unhealthy is when we're solely dependent on that approval mm-hmm. and not weigh in our own. I love what you said about you weigh it different. Mm-hmm. Before, I gave my family unit a lot of weight mm-hmm. in my decision making. And now, my main weight is my husband and I, right? And then they might have, you know, a couple of percentage points in the weight. Not that I don't care. It's just that at the end of the day, the decision is mine.
Yeah.
Or if it's between my husband and I, it's ours.
Exactly.
And building up that confidence and even setting those boundaries and knowing I love you and I would love your support in this. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't support me, I am still going to move forward in my direction. And that does take a decent amount of confidence mm-hmm. and self-esteem to be able to like make that separation. Do you feel like that's something that, do you see like your friends or even just our generation struggle with that of like continuing to seek family unit affirmation or not wanting to step away from, you know, like trying to like kind of like step away and break out and be their own person?
Yeah, I think it truly depends on like your relationship with your parents. Like obviously some people's parents are their like best friend and like they trust everything that they say and they listen to them wholeheartedly, which is, I love that for them. Like that's great.
I love that journey for you.
That's great.
Yeah.
But other people just have a different dynamic with their parents.
And yeah.
That's okay too. And so like you said, obviously I listen to myself when it comes to decisions, but I feel like the shift has, I throw more on my friends. Like I weigh more their opinions just because they are more with me on a day-to-day aspect and they understand it and they get it. And so I weigh their opinions more so than I guess what my parents have to say. But, mm-hmm. Of course I always appreciate my parents. Maybe if I want a completely different opinion or they bring a different perspective on a lot of things.
Absolutely.
So I may just ask them for that, but it's up to me what I do with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love that. It's always up to you what you decide to do with other people's feedback. You can, you know, Mr. L, who is CEO, one of my mentors, always said, take it all in and sort it out later. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's a great piece of advice when it comes to taking advice from other people is like, take it all in and then sort out what's useful to you.
Yeah. Process.
Process it. And then, you know, throw the rest away or store it away for a rainy day if you need it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to take on all these other thoughts and opinions on what you should do with your life.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to being busy.
Yes.
So,
roast me.
I'm not going to roast you. I'm just curious, like, do you feel like you have a healthy relationship with the hustle and the grind and the busyness? Mm-hmm. You said that it was filling a void.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, like, what void is that filling? And like, I want to drill down on this because I think that we can get caught up in that cycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious for you, like, how do you manage that cycle? How do you know when you're maybe teetering into burnout?
Yeah.
How do you manage and kind of check in with yourself emotionally and physically and mentally?
Yeah.
Hey, I need to take some time. Yeah. Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah. I feel like it's something that I've definitely gotten better at. This year in particular, I'm trying to make for 2022, because with wedding schedule, it moves like a year in advance. So just looking at 2022 and where I schedule my time, but I'm relating to that just overall when it comes to business and personal life, I've gotten better at kind of walking a fine line between the two. And because I feel like work would always it was just like this big circle of just like constant, like, you know, when you're self-employed, it's hard to be like, okay, this is personal, but this is work.
Sure.
And so it's very, I kind of am jealous of people who are able to just like work 9 to 5 and then leave. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would like that feeling. I really wouldn't, but I sometimes would like that feeling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to navigate like what's personal and what's business, but I feel like I've gotten better at doing it. Mm-hmm. I definitely am more self-aware when that feeling and feelings may come.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends are good at calling that out too and kind of saying that, and like when I'm doing too much. But typically whenever I feel like I'm doing too much, I just, like you say, hold space for those feelings. And then I will just like take a day to rest and to just be chill and kind of like just take a breath. So yeah, if that answers your question.
It does. I think it's like a part of staying grounded and a part of recognizing when things are teetering into burnout is being really connected to yourself, knowing yourself really well, and being able to discern when things, like when energy is taking too much of your time, whether that be in life, whether that be, you know, family, whether that be career. Mm-hmm. It's just staying connected with yourself so that you can decide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, this past weekend, the last 2 weekends in particular have been very social heavy. And I could feel on Sunday afternoons almost like resenting the fact that I had filled up my calendar so much that I didn't leave any time for me to do laundry, groceries, like to even just rest, read a book for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so that's something like I feel that. And so then I'll try to either reschedule plans or try to like make a space for me to have that. So I felt that on Sunday morning. And so I actually ended up just rescheduling the rest of my day. And I didn't have like big commitments. It was more so like, let's go on a walk, or it was just, okay, I need to actually reschedule the day so I can focus on me. And that's a boundary that I'm always willing to set, is to take care of myself, because I can't pour out. I can't serve my clients. I can't be the friend I want to be, the wife I want to be, if I'm exhausted all the time. And so I think it is important to set those boundaries, and it is important to keep those consistent check-ins with yourself so you know when things are taking a turn and it's not, you know, healthy for you.
Yeah, I think I've gotten better at identifying those feelings, and like I feel like the old me would, during those moments when I feel like inadequate, I'd be like kind of like this, oh, just power through, like just get through it mentality. Whereas now it's like, okay, just like, just chill. Like you, it's okay if you sit on the couch and watch an episode or whatever, like that's okay. And so just fighting that internal battle, because I'd like, you know, it's hard for me to like just to sit and like not do something. To like just be, what do you want to say? Mindless. Just like just sit there and like chill.
Yeah.
Sometimes hard for me. But I'm getting better about that. And just more specifically diving into that, I just recently moved out. And so I have my own apartment. And so I'm able to completely dictate my schedule pretty much. And it was kind of hard to establish routines like that when you live with your parents. Mm-hmm. Just because you're sharing a space and they're like, you're both grown ass humans. So it's like having to try to create two morning routines or something like that mm-hmm. was hard. But now it's like I'm able to wake up and do what I want to do. And then I can dive into work at whatever time and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So there's just like really like just trying to work on me and trying to develop that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And no one else is influencing your schedule or the way yeah. you spend your time. It's solely focused on
yeah.
what does Riley need to get done today?
Exactly.
And what do I need to feel good about the work I'm doing too? Uh-huh. It's not always just being productive. It's uh-huh. also the feelings that come along with that productivity uh-huh. of like, I'm proud of the way I'm working. I'm proud of the energy I'm bringing to this. Uh-huh. I'm focused. I'm intentional. Uh-huh. And I think that's something like I've had to learn a lot is bringing intentional energy uh-huh. and focus uh-huh. and care into everything that I do requires an extra level of energy and an extra level of awareness. Yeah. And so it's almost like I'm kind of emotionally being called up to another level yeah. of like, okay, we've grown and now I'm requiring more of me. My work is requiring more of me. And so what does that actually look like? It looks like me taking that time.
Yeah.
And giving myself the space to reprieve from being so intentionally focused because mm-hmm. that, yeah, I just feel like sometimes my batteries get lower easier. Yeah. And so I'm working on that stamina, yeah. I guess, too.
Yeah, I think that's something you do a really good job at is like, I know you've shared with me before that you've gotten really good about your, what your day looks like and how, you know, you don't work until what, 10, I think?
10, 9:30.
9:30. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the morning you do whatever you work out or read a book or whatever you want to do. And that's something I'm trying to get better about doing is just having moments of work and then having just moments to be yourself and work on.
Be a human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. That's mainly what I'm trying to just get better at that. So mm-hmm. it's hard, but
it is hard. Thank you so yeah. much for your time, friend. I've loved this. You. I feel like you and I talk about a lot of this stuff, but it's never recorded.
Yeah.
And so now we get to invite other people into this. And yeah, I would love for you to share where people can connect with you and follow along on your journey.
Yeah. So my name is Riley Prummer, P-R-U-E-M-E-R, first name Riley, R-I-L-E-Y. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. And then some of my businesses that you can check out are on Instagram, just all lowercase R-P Media. And then, like I said, the most new one is The Vagabond Eatery. Vagabond Eatery. It's on Instagram. Check it out. And if you ever have the chance, make sure you come by in Effingham.
Booyah. I'll have all those linked up in the show notes. Thank you for holding space with me today, Riley. I'm so thankful for you and our friendship.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.